Welcome everybody to today's Awaken Living Club call, sometimes known as the VIP Club, because we're all very important when we're connected to that, which is important. And we're in a theme right now. We call it a cycle, where we've been flowing down. And there's an aspect to that that dovetails really nicely with our Qigong journey. We have a progressive learning experience where people are going through the various stages of working with their physical body, their energy body, really going into the tissues and the organs and the bones and then connecting to the energy centers and awakening and raising consciousness. And the flow down phase that we're in right now has to do with after you've gone through the body, through the physical door, circulate the chi around, you start to slow down. You slow your brain waves, you slow the movements, you simplify, you draw your attention inward, and you cross over a bridge into the land known as Neigong. And Neigong is an inner skill. And we're actually going to use Neigong to help shape today's conversation. And we've got three really cool aspects to the call. And we're going to break it up into three phases. And I think Sabrina's probably going to kick off the first phase.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she is. So without any further blah, 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 here's Sabrina.
Yeah, these are kind of fun and funny, and they're meant to be. They are rules of life.
Yes.
And I think they were Dan Kennedy's. They were first released by Dan Kennedy. And rule of life number one, I really like, and it is, no one's in charge.
Ooh, we get to unpack this. No one's in charge.
No one's in charge.
And we'll see how it relates to your energy and your internal skill of working with your energy. So here we go. No one's in charge. Well, that's for sure in my house. There's a lot of people who think they're in charge. No. What does it mean for you, Sabrina, to be to speak that there's no one in charge?
Well, when I say no one's in charge, that's just very empowering, because you could say that and that could be scary.
Right.
Like, what do you mean no one's in charge? I'm used to following someone. Someone should be in charge. But that's not really the way that it's meant when we're saying it today. No one's in charge is meaning you are fully powerful. You're an incredibly powerful being with access to all the energy and all the things and all the possibilities. No one is in charge of you but you. No one is in charge of your energy but you. No one is in charge of your thoughts but you. No one is in charge of your emotions but you.
Mm-hmm.
No one is in charge of your destiny but you. No one is in charge of every thought you have and everything you do but you. No one is in charge, so I can stop worrying about what other people think, being judged, am I acting appropriately? No one's in charge.
So beautiful.
No one was appointed. No one was born and came out of a mother's womb, and it was like, oh, he's in charge. He's the one born to be in charge.
Now, of course, we live in a world where there are so many rules and regulations and stipulations and anything that rhymes with that, where we understand that order is important, that guidelines are important. We're not saying it's a free-for-all and let's not have any order. What we're trying to talk about here is removing this condition that sometimes is placed upon us by others and possibly our own thoughts, that other people are above you, that people are the boss of your life, and you're the boss. You are the CEO. You are the chief enlightenment officer in your life.
I like that.
No one is in charge but you. You're in charge of your energy.
Mm-hmm.
You're in charge of your thoughts. You're in charge of how you navigate your life. No one's the boss of you. Now, you might align with others who have particular guidelines, maybe rules, maybe methods that you find very helpful to help you be the boss of you. So that's really, when we were talking about this, it felt very empowering.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, yes, we can release the shackles and the energetic prisons that sometimes we find ourselves in.
Yeah, because if no one's in charge in my head, meaning I am no longer being ruled by the voices from my childhood, of course, since no one's in charge but me, I can choose to be a student of someone, to be a supporter of something, to be on social media a follower, but still I'm in charge of me, and from the place of being in charge of me, I decide where I put my attention and who I choose to listen to and who I choose to support. That may seem to be in a position of leadership, but the no one's in charge has to do with inside of me.
I think when we're pulling from the work of Dan Kennedy, somebody who has been in the business industry and teaching coaches and thought leaders for many, many years. And so his perspective causes a shift, a new slant in how you look at things. You're going to enjoy the other two questions as we dive into them, and then we'll kind of tie them all together. So just think that one, feel into that one. No one is in charge.
No one's in charge of your happiness.
Nobody controls you. Nobody is your dictator.
Yeah.
You get to be the one in charge.
What are you guys listening live in that are part of the chat? What do you think about that? Does that feel empowering? Does it feel scary?
And Radhika says, this is very empowering. Nobody can put me down or lift me up. I'm responsible for my life. I love that. Yeah, I don't think that the divine said, okay, we're going to appoint these people down there on that planet Earth as the bosses. Right, people come into this world and they decide who they want to be and how they want to show up. And there are lots of decisions that have been made over the years that have been passed down,
mm-hmm.
that have become rules and regulations. And we understand that well-intending mm-hmm. humans have written constitutions and have created guidelines to help humans find their way. But at the end of the day, if those guidelines take you away from your center, if they take you away from your truth, if they bind you in thinking that's small, that's limited, that you feel controlled by others, then they were not great guides, and they may have had some self-absorbed interest. So it's beautiful to know that you're the only one that's in charge. You get to be the boss of you.
Mm-hmm. And you're not a victim. Since you're in charge, you're responsible for your happiness.
I'm getting a lot of empowering. Feels empowering.
Liberating.
Yes.
Great words.
I used to feel like I had chains on, but figured out I was in charge of me. This is mm-hmm. very empowering. It's a huge reframe for many of us who haven't had the, let's say, I'm going to use the word container, I haven't had the environment to think about this.
Yeah.
You know, because we go through life indoctrinated by society rules and regulations, and we just think this is the way it is. This is the way it's always been.
Well, of course it is, because as children, maybe you were told something like, don't talk back to me. You do it because your mother said so. It's like, why do I need to do that? Because I said so. You're not the boss of me. Yes, I am. Right? So as children, of course, we learned that we're not in charge. The teacher's in charge. Mom's in charge. Dad's in charge. And if I don't do as they say, I might get spanked. I'm going to get punished.
Going to get in trouble.
I'm going to lose my possessions.
Get too many parking tickets. They're going to steal your... They're going to put you impound your car and take away your driver's license.
So it's a, wouldn't that be amazing for us to start teaching the new generation that, yes, as your mother, I see more options than you can see. So right now, until you're older, I'm going to help you make your decisions.
Yeah.
But you're still as a child, even though it's very difficult, you're still learning to be happy regardless of whether or not you get the new toy or not.
When teachers start guiding others to listen to their inner wisdom, when teachers help others remember that the power lies within, the wisdom lies within, that everything they're seeking, the guidance they're seeking is within them, and they don't have to be controlling. So guidelines are beautiful, especially the place that they're being shared from. Why are you saying it? Why is this rule in place? Is it to serve the highest perspective? And of course, you can debate this until the cows come home, you know, whether or not it's right or wrong.
Tell me about these cows.
These cows, there's so many
cows.
They
leave home and you wait for them to come back?
You just keep waiting and waiting.
Yeah, is that something you learned in England?
It was one of the rules.
It was one of the rules.
One of the rules. You'll be waiting until the cows come home. So please hear the liberating vibration from where this is being shared, and that we are not saying, you know, it's a free-for-all and just throw away all your rules. Just remember that you get to be the boss of you. All right, let's look at our second one.
All right.
I like this one because this ends the complainer. This can end the complainer. And, uh-oh, something weird happening here. Hold on.
Someone's just unmuted.
Something got unmuted.
Hang on.
Hang on, y'all. It's new. Let's try going in here. Got that. I don't know. Is somebody there?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Let's. Okay, we fixed it.
All right. So the second rule of life is... Dun, dun, dun.
Life is not fair.
Life is not fair. Life isn't fair. My mom wanted me to have curly hair, so I had to eat the breadcrumbs, the bread crust. But my hair's straight. I could say, life's not fair. That other person has curly hair and I don't. Yeah, life's not fair.
So what it does is it just helps you stop it, right? There's an internal complainer, an internal dialogue that wants things to be different than they are. And if we hang on to that for too long, it turns into the vibration and the feeling of victim. The victim is the one who says life isn't fair.
Mm-hmm.
But also the wise one can say those same words and say, okay, the external certainly seems that it's not fair. Mm-hmm. Now what? Now what?
Yeah.
What will you do with this?
Yeah, and that's what makes all the difference. Do you sit and just declare, life isn't fair. She got two candies and I got one. She's 5'10 and I'm 5'4. She can eat four pizzas and not gain weight. Mm. She had really smart parents. School's easier for her. Whatever it is, whatever this thing is that we make up in our head that isn't fair, life's not fair. And what is fair? Whoever said this thing about fair? We are all getting exactly what we need, and in those moments that life doesn't seem fair, we get to make decisions about who we are.
Absolutely. It takes a weight off, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to enter into the victim, it's not fair mode anymore. And I know nobody likes the word victim, right? Oh, I'm not a victim. Well, hold up. It's sneaky, right? That part of the mind is sneaky. And it does infiltrate, and we do feel this isn't fair, right? It's an energy. What do you guys feel? Have you identified that energy inside you? I think when we look at it for a minute and get a little extra honest with ourselves, that sometimes we do judge. That judgment is coming from, this doesn't feel right. This is wrong.
Well, that I have ideas about the way things should be.
Mm-hmm.
And if things were fair, we would get just as much rain in Austin as they do in Oregon.
We would have an ocean.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and if things were fair, you know, the school teachers would make as much money as the doctors. Whatever the concept is, it's usually something that we have decided should be fair. But by sitting in the energy that says, life's not fair, we actually don't help the situation. If we just know life's not fair and what actions can we take that are loving and kind and move the needle forward for us and others, then we can have a sense of contribution. Then we have some value.
These questions, I think, are written with the intention of freedom. No one's in charge. Oh, wow. Phew. Free up the chains. Life's not fair. Okay, got it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start judging now. I'm more free. I'm more open.
Yeah.
I can flow more.
Mm-hmm.
I can flow down, and I can navigate my energy better. And that's what's meant by Nei Gong, and we're doing that in our Qigong workshops, is we're allowing the energy to flow without disruption. What disrupts it? The mind.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't fair. I shouldn't feel this in my body. My body shouldn't have this pain. My body shouldn't have this illness. These people are hurting my feelings and making my heart sad, and it's affecting my immune system. It's not fair. They're controlling me. All of these emotions cause us to be sick in body, mind, and spirit. So this is a freedom exercise.
Yeah. And oftentimes the life's not fair comes from the intellect, comes from this linear perspective on reality. One of the reasons life isn't fair is because it's full of magic. And it's multidimensional, and it's not linear, it's spherical. And so this whole idea that things are fair is X, Y axis and very, I'm going to understand it intellectually with my brain. And sometimes we can't. I mean, how many times have we seen in a movie or in our own life that something happens and it's like, well, that's not fair. But only later to find out, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that that thing that I wanted so bad didn't happen because something even better was coming.
That's so beautiful. Radhika echoes that. She writes, life is not lacking. It is full of possibility. I like to say pregnant with possibility, which is waiting to be birthed.
Mm-hmm.
That's so beautiful. Once we stop being a victim, she says.
Yeah.
That's it right there.
Mm-hmm. And to catch when we're saying that life isn't fair, because what we're really saying is this should not be happening.
Right.
Right. So let's say you're driving somewhere and you know, something starts at 2 o'clock. It's a wedding. And, you know, you're driving and you get a flat tire and maybe you're in the bridal party and life isn't fair because you're not going to be there for rehearsal and you might miss it. But what if that was some kind of grace in disguise and there was going to be some accident that injured your body? Like, we don't know enough to judge a situation as anything other than a blessing.
Ride or downer.
If you live your life from a place of gratitude and trust and true faith, faith that is completely holy, faith that lives in gratitude, then you can't really say life isn't fair because you live in a place that knows that only good things happen to you and that you are very blessed. I was reading something this woman wrote, and she
like an author?
Yeah.
What could have been an email?
You know, she writes it when the cows come home. That's when she usually writes.
Probably took a long time to write that.
When the cows come home, I'm going to tell you what it means. They go out into the pastures and they eat, and then they're supposed to come back into the barn late at night. But they're so slow coming back to the barn. So it seems like you're just waiting until the cows come home.
Is that really what it is?
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
You probably Googled it, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you did. You did Google it.
It says this idiom refers to cows returning home, i.e. to their milking sheds in the evening at a slow, plodding pace after a whole day in the pasture eating grass.
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to know what this guy from England knew about cows.
Well, now you know.
Well, I was saying something really important.
Okay. About the author.
Oh, yeah. About the author. And she has the ability to tap into and channel this very higher level consciousness. And she, as a person, is an animal activist like I am. If I even hear about somebody being cruel to an animal, I get very angry, very upset. It really bothers me. I'm the least violent person I know, unless you hurt an animal or a child. And then, like, I'm not so nonviolent. I really want to stop someone that does that. And this author felt the same way. And someone asked her, what's the difference? Check that person that keeps unmuting themselves. Okay. What's the difference in how you feel when you're channeling this higher consciousness that you channel and when you are just speaking? And she said, when I'm channeling the higher consciousness and I speak about animal cruelty, I don't judge it as good or bad. It just sort of is. And then how can we move forward from it? She said she feels different. She doesn't have the emotional judgment. So things aren't fair is a judgment. It's an emotional judgment, and it's not a high frequency on the energetic scale. So far, Dan Kennedy gave us two rules.
The conference has been locked.
No one's in charge, and life's not fair. You ready to move on to the third one?
I'm ready.
And the third one?
Because the cows just came home.
Let's go. The best. The third one is the best. Everything is made up.
What?
Everything is made up.
Come on.
The hairstyle that you have right now has been made up. If you have on lipstick, that invention, oh, we should color our lips, it's been made up. The clothes you wear.
Marriage.
Marriage. A piece of paper. Everything that you see is all just made up. Somebody created it. And if everything's all just made up, then we get to make stuff up.
Make some stuff up.
Yeah. And I'll tell you a story about how the conversation of these three things happened. Is we were at a wedding, and there were a lot of entrepreneurs there. And this one woman, excellent entrepreneur, and one of her first things that she did was her husband was a veterinarian, and she did some marketing to get him voted like top veterinarian in the country, and I don't know what all, but it was big. And she was saying, you know, when someone has a dog and they enter it into these contests and they win a medal, you can get sponsorships. And then we were interrupted. So the next day, this was like a 3-day wedding. So the next day I said, yesterday we were having a conversation and I didn't really understand what you were saying. You were saying that, you know, if a dog wins a contest in a dog show, you can get a sponsorship. I said, what kind of sponsorship? And she goes, whatever you want, you make it up. And I just started laughing. And she goes, you just make it up. It could be a sponsorship for a car. You just make it up. She goes, don't you know everything is just made up? And I saw all the success that she has had in so many businesses. And the things that she does seem outside sometimes of her expertise, like some of the tech things that she's involved in. And I'm like, wow, that's why you do what you do, because you just said, I'm just going to make it up and give it a go because everybody else does. Where Sabrina would tend to think, oh, no, there's a way in place. Your dog does this and wins that, and then you reach out to there, and you, like, I'm just going to copy what someone else did, which there is value in that.
Great value.
Great value.
But there's also, so you have people who copy a model, not against it, and then you have people who are creators. And if you understand everything is made up, then it opens up the door for creativity.
Yes.
Because if you think that everything's already made, which is the opposite of this, then there's no point in creating anything. It's already done. Why should I even try? And that's actually a lot of people's story. Why should I even try? It's already been done. And as soon as you enter into that, creativity window shuts. So these statements are designed to create freedom. They can cause a little bit of, I guess, controversy.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because there's a lot of rules and there's a lot of things like you should follow this step-by-step sequence. And we're not against that. We are not against it. But we're really trying to showcase the freedom opportunities that these statements present.
And to respect. I respect a lot when I see someone teaching a system
right.
or a process
That's tried and true.
That's tried and true and logical and well-crafted and brilliant.
But even that was made up.
Yeah. What?
That process was made
that's
up.
That's what I'm saying. And then to realize they just made that up. They may have made it up based on things other people made up.
Maybe. They may have borrowed.
Yeah.
Or influenced
and
by.
And so I'm sort of in awe. Like, wow.
Yeah.
And so, like, that came to you. So it's all made up is also, like, it's all downloaded. It's
yeah.
all co-created.
That's
that
right.
God consciousness, I heard somebody say this morning in this thing I was watching, God is evolving consciousness. Like, the last thing we want to do is to limit what God is, what that divine energy is. If you say it is X and you put it in a box with barriers rather than God consciousness is evolving through our own experiences and through our own thoughts and through each and every evolution as it makes stuff up.
Well, if you think about, like, for example, we have a method and we could say, we just made it up. Well, it's not throwaway like that. There's great intention and care and nurturing in what you create. You don't just, I mean, things can just flow to and through you and you're like, whoa, I just created that. I made it up. But it had clear, clean intention. It wasn't, what do you call that when you you say mamsy-pamsy? That's your little word. It wasn't like, I don't really care. Whatever, I'll just make it up. Right? Like, I don't know what to say. I'll just make something up. We're not saying that.
Yeah, it's not a cop-out.
It's not a cop-out. It's not a throwaway. It's made with intention. So the way that that particular line is everything is made up, it's beautiful. Everything that exists in the world, on this planet, came from an idea. It came from a thought. It came from an intuition. It came from someone getting out of the way and allowing the consciousness of creativity to spark within them. And that's why we tell our students, we tell you guys, give yourselves permission to desire. Because it's through desire that this universal energy can work its way into the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's through us that we can birth the divine into being. And so you're a portal for beauty. You're a portal for things to be made up, to be created. You're a portal. You're a portal.
Mm-hmm.
So start making up some cool stuff. Let's go. Let's get creative. Permission to desire granted.
I like in the chat, Radhika wrote, no, Jennifer said, it's all make-believe, just like we were told when we were kids.
Mm.
And so if you take these three rules that we're talking about, and I think this is really interesting, so I'm going to repeat them. And which one makes you smile or giggle, and which one do you least connect with? And then I'll tell you mine.
Okay.
No one's in charge. Life's not fair. Everything is made up.
Okay, so I'm going to pick one, and I'm going to write the number down. So you've got number one, and then we're going to put our number in. No one is in charge. Number two,
put your number
life
in
is not way. Fair. We're all going to see which one we like.
Which one lights you up the
I'm
most?
Going to write mine down. Don't look. Okay, so number one, no one is in charge. Number two, life is not fair. And number three, everything is made up.
Everything is made up.
Okay, get ready. We're going to put it, those of you who are with us in the chat, you can put it in the chat. And
those of you that aren't, like, I just want to have a conversation. The one that doesn't really do anything for me is life is not fair.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about that because I was talking to a group of people last night, and a few of them really were liking that one. And then I realized, that's not a thing for me. I don't often say, life's not fair. That's not something that catches me. It's not really a limiting belief. I know that I might work towards something for 10 years and somebody else might work for 6 months and be better than me.
Mm.
But I don't, I've never thought life isn't fair.
Right.
It just didn't occur to me. So I know that that one's going to be of more value than for some people. And the one for me that really frees me is everything is made up.
And look what my number was. My number was number three as well.
Uh-huh.
And we're getting a lot of threes in here. And then ones. Three and then one, said Debbie.
Yeah.
And Alyssa. Anita's a three. Christine's a one. Jennifer likes the concept of number three. Radhika's a three.
Number three for me, everything is made up. Oh my gosh, it just takes... So what that shows me is that I carry some heaviness,
mm-hmm.
and I carry some boundaries that everything isn't just made up. There are certain ways, there are rules, there are ways that things are done, and sometimes those, I use that to feel like less than. But when I know that everything that everybody's doing and saying at some point was just made up, I love that. I love that. And you know what else it does? It gives you room to do things different.
Yeah.
To try something. You know, like right now, most cars look kind of the same, mm-hmm. but then Tesla comes along, right? Everything's just made up. They're like, we're going to plug the car in. You know, that was just made up. And then there you have it.
As I look at these with you all, I feel the number one thing about number one, no one is in charge.
Yeah.
What I really like about that one is that I no longer feel that anyone is controlling me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It frees the victim.
In your own head.
In my own head, that I'm in charge of my life. And I love the way that feels. For number two, life is not fair. That one frees me from judging myself and judging others. Things are the way they are. Whether you want to put the label of fair, because that's such an interesting thought. Who decides what's fair?
Yeah.
Right? What are we saying? Life is not in balance. Well, life is designed to be contrast. So it's not supposed to be fair.
Yeah.
It's supposed to birth what I think number three is all about, which is everything's made up. And for me, that one gives me permission to play. And it tells me I'm already enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get to allow my desires to flourish.
Yeah. You know, I'm not educated on how to make and decorate a wreath to hang on the front door.
I know someone who is.
But my mother, she's brilliant at making wreaths, and she's taking a lot of wreath-making classes, and she stays very current and watches a lot of TV shows about wreath-making. And then she'll ask me to come into her room and look at the wreath that she's created, like yesterday. And I don't know the rules, so I'll say, I like this many balls on it. I like four flowers. And she goes, well, you're supposed to use five.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, the tallest thing is supposed to be on the left. Now, I'm sure there's a reason, but because I don't know the rules, it always makes me laugh. And I said, somebody just made that up. Oh, the bow is supposed to be at this o'clock or this o'clock, or, you know, if you put glitter, something with glitter here on the wreath, it makes it glamorous. And that has been a good teacher for me because I'm giggling going, Mom, just put the balls wherever you want to. There's no rules. But because she's more educated. So then I reflect that back on myself. And sometimes when we are when we're more educated in something, we've got to be, I choose to be well-educated and remain open, that everything is made up and I can learn what everyone else has done, but to not keep the borders around it, not keep it firm the way that it's done.
Mm.
Because I see when we're having this conversation, there are little goals and experiences that I want to have. And I think some of the reasons I haven't accessed it to the point that I want to is because I have a preconceived idea of the way it would happen rather than no one's in charge, it's all made up, don't know. Can we bring a little bit of I don't know back to the table?
Mm.
the miracles.
The best things that have ever been created through me had to do with when I got out of the way. I didn't try to copy what somebody else was doing.
Right.
I might have drawn some inspiration or allowed that to perk an idea.
Yeah.
But even then, I try to just open myself up to receive insight, inspiration. I call it to invite insight. And then the next thing for me is to listen. We talk a lot about this, and this is the Neigong part speaking in this conversation. Neigong, meaning inner skill, has a lot of depth in the ability to listen, energetically listen to what's happening inside you. And so people sometimes will play a game like, does that light you up? And then someone says, yeah, that lights me up. Or does that drop your energy? Yeah, that drops my energy. But there's a level of receptivity that can be refined. And you can really know even more, like our friend Lisa Nichols says, you know like you know like you know, which means it's much deeper than I know. Yeah, I know. And then you go really deep. No, mm-hmm. I know. And then you go even deeper, like, I know this is right for mm-hmm. me, for me. And so developing that receptivity right now, thank you. I want to encourage us to all to keep developing our listening skills.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's what, so those of you who are not clear on what I'm saying with Neigong, it's a part of the practice that we're doing right now in these programs that you're part of in the Awakened Living Club and in the Life Force Dojo. We are going more inside our awareness and we are listening. Someone just said gut instinct. Yes, that's one of the brains that we talk about in the belly. And that's the lower dantian. And you can listen to that energy center and it's giving you feedback. And you'll feel it through your senses. So that's a piece of Neigong, is going inside and listening to your gut instinct. Another is quieting the mind and listening in the upper dantian. What's coming to you? What's lighting up in your brain? What vision are you getting? What clarity is coming? And then there's another brain in the heart. That's that inner wisdom, that inner wise self or soul, that internal innate knowing. When you get all three of these working together, like a trifecta, you have this incredible listening skill. And so Neigong helps you to identify whether or not something is right for you. And that's how I play at life. I go and I create something because it feels good. I'm not sure what I want to do. I listen.
Yeah.
I listen for that inner guidance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I cross-reference it with how I feel.
Yeah. You know, when I'm thinking about the life's not fair one, and I said that's the one I identify with less, I do cast that judgment on things. I cast victim on things that probably aren't feeling victim. For example, one of the flowering flowers in our yard that a lot of you have seen the photos, those giant hibiscus. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes when one is blooming, there is a bud underneath it that's not getting as much sun.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of the plants entirely has one of the big grassy plants has now grown so tall that it covers the flowers. And sometimes I'll look and I'll feel really sorry.
Aww.
For the
life's not fair.
For the flowers. And I kind of feel like, well, that's not fair. That grass isn't even flowering and it's making shade over that flower.
Which is judgment.
Yeah. Yeah. Or
so the caterpillar says when it's becoming the butterfly, life's not fair. I'm dying. It's not fair.
Yeah. And then when you hold something or someone in that judgment that something isn't right about them, therefore it's not fair, you are adding to that identity. Mm. For example, let's just even say, so it's not a human, let's say it's a litter of puppies.
Oh, and of course. Of what course. An analogy. Where did that come from? Let's just say. Okay, life is like a box of chocolates.
So, like Mr. Bentley, you guys know Mr. Bentley had this beautiful coloring of like a reddish brown and a white. And there was beautiful symmetry. And they do even have a lot of studies that say that babies, when they look at babies smiling and their brains lighting up, there's something in the human brain that is very attracted to symmetry.
Yeah.
And so you could have, like, the litter that Bentley was in, he was very symmetric in the coloring, but maybe one of the other puppies wasn't. Maybe half the face was brown and half was white, rather than having these distinctive colors or just a brown spot somewhere that shouldn't be. And I could look at that and be like, oh, he's messed up. Mm. So I see that I don't have that life. It's not fair for me. Mm-hmm. But I'm really glad we had this conversation, because I see that I, in judging life's not fair over a dog that, as long as you tell him he's cute, he thinks he's the best thing in the world. There's no rule that the color needs to be symmetric. That's my freaking rule. But by projecting that onto the dog, I'm putting that energy on them. I'm putting that energy on the plant and keeping them in a frequency of less than their potential. So I don't want to have just that life's not fair for me. I'm going to bring more of that to all the things that I kind of feel sorry for, because I'm feeling sorry for them. I am disempowering them and judging them as not enough.
Wow. That's a deep insight. And
stick with me, kids.
There she blows.
Stick with me until the cows come
home.
That's
right. And when they do, I'm going to go make something up, because I'm in charge.
Yep.
All right.
Let's just say those again. Number one, you can say them with us.
No one is in charge.
Number two,
life is not fair.
Number three,
everything is made up. All right. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that this has awakened your life a little bit more, given you some perspective, some contemplation, giving you an internal expansion, and you see the importance of refining your energy so that you can listen at a much, much deeper level to what you're really feeling, and allowing the creativity of this love force and life force to work through you and just go make some stuff happen.
Go make some stuff up.
Go make stuff up and make stuff happen.
Oh, like a recipe. That is another thing. Oh, it's only supposed
here we
to
go.
Be... a dash of that. Well, I like
yeah,
two dashes.
I like
dashes.
A pinch. and then I'm going to give it to the cows. All right, everybody.
Have
Thank
an awesome
you.
Time. Those of you who are in the circle, we'll see you in a minute.
Yes, sis. Bye-bye.